إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our reminder on the mawlat, the regular adhkar and the things to do on a regular basis. And as I mentioned yesterday, there is great barakah and there is great benefit in doing these things on a regular basis, because that is how in a very subtle way a lot of good piles up. There is a famous hadith story from the seerah of two sahaba who accepted Islam on the same day, and then many years later one of them was killed in a battle. He was shaheed fi sabilillah inshallah, and the second one died 1 year later. Now after the second one passed away, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as was his custom, after Salat al-Fajr he would turn around and he would sit, and after Azkar he would ask people if anyone had seen a dream, and he would interpret that dream. Then he would make some islah, he would make some nasiha. So he asked that day, he said, has anyone seen a dream? And one of the sahaba, I think it was Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu wa Allah alam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I saw a dream which has left me very puzzled. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to narrate the dream, and he mentioned these two sahaba. He mentioned both of them. And he said, as you know, both of them accepted Islam on the same day. One of them died shaheed. The other one died 1 year later. But in my dream, I saw the one who died later entering Jannah before the one who was shaheed. So I am very puzzled with this. How is it possible? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, why are you puzzled? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives or has given the position of shaheed to the person who died as a shaheed. So there is no disputing that. He said, but the man who died 1 year later, he said he got one more Ramadan, he got 1 year worth of Fard Salawat, he got 1 year worth of Ibadat and whatever else he used to do. So obviously he has more in his account than his brother who died 1 year later. Not for any reason, only because he died he lived one more year. So it shows that just the fact that Allah gives us life itself is a great blessing if we use that time productively, and the most productive use of time is to spend it in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in terms of the daily azkar, yesterday I mentioned the masnoon azkar after the fard salawat. Inshallah we should try to practice all of them. And today I remind myself and you about the other daily azkar. Now the first and most important one of those are the azkar of the morning and the azkar of the evening. I won't go into the details of all that. The simplest way for those of you who do not know what they are is to pick up that little book of duas which is called Hisnul Muslim, the Fortress of the Muslim, that has got all the azkar. So just pick up that book and try to memorize them. They are very simple. Most of them we know anyway, because it is, for example, the Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Falaq, Suratul Nas, Ayatul Kursi, Suratul Fatiha, Tasbih Fatimi, all of these things anyway we know. It's just a matter of reminding ourselves to do them. And what you don't know, try to memorize. They are small du'as and azkar which are very important to do. So there's a set for the morning and there's a set for the night before we go to sleep. In the set for the night is also the two surahs, Suratul Sajda and Suratul Mulk, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite. And Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha has hadith where she said that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never went to sleep without reciting these two surahs. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also recommended reading Suratul Waqia and before you go to sleep, because he said if you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from starvation, will protect you from poverty. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that anyone who reads 80 ayat before he goes to sleep, his 80 or more, his name will be written among the people who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. qanitin. So it's very important to do that. If you read these two surahs, which is Surah Sajda and Suratul Mulk, that is 30 ayat each, so that is 60. If you read Waqia, then it is much more than 80, but Waqia alone is about 80. So, or if you read something else, make up the 20. So, this is the morning and evening azkar. Then during the day, two extremely important things. One is istighfar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is known from his seerah, from the hadith, the sahaba said, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make istighfar himself 70 times, in another narration 100 times. The istighfar of the Nabi is not for forgiveness of sins, because Allah has already forgiven the sins. It is for the increase of darajat. For us, it is important to ask forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, istighfar, the mashaykhin, they recommend at least 100 times, because this is from the seerah. How much more to do? As much as you want the forgiveness of Allah. So, that's the simplest way of doing it. The biggest problem with all of these things is that we tend to use minimalist thinking. Minimum, why? I mean, do you want minimum forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, how much to do? As much as you want forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another extremely important dhikr is sending salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, durood e sharif, which is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Suratul Ahzab, the ayat we know, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. So also at least 100 times during the day. How much more to do? As much as you want the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who sends salat and salam on me one time, Allah will send salat and salam on him 10 times. So imagine the blessing of this. And this is only for this particular zikr, not for anything else. For all azkar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remember you. Fazkuruni azkurukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, you remember me, I will remember you. For this one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only remembers, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also sends salat and salam on the person reciting durood. So how much to do that? As much as you want the blessing and the salat and salam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you wish, as much as possible. The very famous hadith with regard to the durood is, which we all know, where the sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will dedicate 25% of my the time that I spend in dhikr, I will dedicate 25% of that time to sending salat and salam on you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you increase that, it is better for you. He didn't say it's better for me. He says better for you. Because when we send salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us remember, we are not doing him any favor. Allah has already sent salam on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is nothing that we can do which can add to the honor that Allah has already given him. So when we send salat and salam on him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are actually reiterating our connection with the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, we are honoring ourselves. And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him that if you increase that, this is better for you. He said, Ya Rasulullah, inshallah, I will dedicate half the time, 50% of the time, to sending salat and salam on you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you increase that, it is better for you. He said, inshallah, I will dedicate 3/4 of the time to sending salat and salam on you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is good. So how much of durood to send? As much as possible. As much as possible. And I have seen from my own life, and there is enough and more evidence in the seerah, in the writings of the salaf, to say that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens doors, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eases matters for those people who send more and more durood and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which is the best way of doing that is the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself taught us, which we know as Durood Ibrahim, which we recite in Salah itself. And of course, maybe others. Final point. So this is with regard to the daily things, not final. Then, weekly is the very important to fast. Fasting is not restricted to Ramadan. Fast, the ayat with respect to fasting, which is لَعَلَّهُمْ تَتَّقُونَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed for people before you, so that your taqwa increases. This applies to all fasting at all times, not only Ramadan. So the issue of increase of taqwa, for that, alhamdulillah, the best way is the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he used to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. So as far as possible, let us try to do that. Every Monday, every Thursday, fast for that. So that we increase our taqwa. Have this niyat, inshallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable this to happen. And then of course in the month, fasting on the 3 days, which are called the white nights, the white days, which is the 13th, 14th and 15th of the lunar month, to fast these 3 days every month. In terms of the year, of course, we have the fasting of Ramadan, followed by 6 days of Shawwal, which can be done consecutively or individually, but before the end of Shawwal, 6 days of Shawwal. The fasting of Ramadan and the 6 days of Shawwal equals to the fasting of the whole year. The fasting of in Muharram, which is coming just now, Yawmul Ashura, which is the fasting of the 9th and 10th of Muharram, or the 10th or 11th of Muharram. This has the virtue again of forgiveness of sins. So very important to fast on these 2 days, not select out only the 10th, but 9th and 10th, or 10th and 11th of Muharram al-Haram. Then also the fasting of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, the best days of the year, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the ibadat of these days better than the ibadat of any other day, except the ibadah of a person going out in jihad fi sabilillah and he is shaheed. Other than that, the day ibadat of the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have more virtue and value than the ibadat of any other time in the year. So therefore, fasting of the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, that also gives us the benefit of fasting of Yawmul Arafah, which is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. But if you can't fast for all the 9 days, then at least the Yawmul Arafah, which has the benefit of forgiveness of sins once again. So all of these fasting, which is on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis and annually, it's very important for us to do. Annually also very important to ensure that we make i'tikaf every year, the last 10 days of Ramadan al-Kareem, which is again one of the ma'amulat, one of the regular ibadat that we must make an effort to do throughout our lives. So therefore, I remind myself and you, let us concentrate on these and we do them.
So that is as far as fasting is concerned. So also with regard to charity, as I mentioned before, do not restrict charity only to Ramadan. In Ramadan, everybody gets very charged up and we are giving people iftar hampers and this and that and clothes. People don't eat only once in a year. People eat the whole year, right? So think about charity throughout the year. Just because we give people iftar in Ramadan does not mean that they don't need food rest of the year. If they are so poor, then they need it all through the year. So let us try to create systems whereby we can continue to do that. Give some charity every day. Make this into a habit, inshallah. Also teach it to your children. Doesn't matter how much it is, 5 rupees, 1 rupee, $1, whatever. But make sure you give some charity every single day. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger is cooled by the charity that you give. What bigger incentive do we want? The anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cooled because of the charity we give. Literally, it is possible to buy your place in Jannah. Yeah, think about this. By giving charity. Alhamdulillah. So, let us try to do that. Then, as far as the other things are concerned, you know, Hajj and Umrah and this and that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. But this Fajr reminder is restricted to what we do on a regular basis, weekly, daily and so on and so forth. So, let us try to do that. Final point before we close is related to how we make the dhikr. Very important, of course, obviously, when we are making dhikr, it's important for us to, like I said yesterday, concentrate on what we are saying, meaning of what we are saying, focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not doing dhikr with ghafla. But of course, as we know, sometimes, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing also that you get so much into the habit of dhikr that continuously your heart is running, continuously your mind is running, your tongue is continuously engaged in dhikr. You may not be consciously thinking very closely about what you are saying, but you are still saying it. Alhamdulillah, this is good. Nothing wrong with that. But make sure that you pronounce the words correctly. This is very important. Many times in terms of dhikr, we do this in terms of salam also. The salam of the Muslims is, what is it? Assalamu alaikum. It's not salaikum. Right? It's not salaikum. It is assalamu alaikum. Salaikum means may you die. So in which case we have to say wa alaikum. So it's not. It is assalamu alaikum. So pronounce all the words properly. Number one. Similarly, we do dhikr. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. What is subhanallah? Allah knows what it is. Subhanallah. This is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, we don't know what it is. Alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. How are you? Alhamdulillah. What is alhamdulillah? Alhamdulillah. Say it properly. Allah Akbar. This is something which we do even in salah. The word is Allahu Akbar. Allah Akbar are two separate words. They are not related to each other. Allah Akbar does not mean Allah is great. It means Allah and it means Akbar. It's like somebody asked, one of the Hindu friends, I believe he asked his Muslim friend, he said, why do Muslims love the king, emperor Akbar so much? He said, what do you mean? He said, they always say Allah, they say always Akbar, Akbar, Akbar for everything. They love Akbar so much. So please, Allahu Akbar, whether it is in Takbir, in Salah, or whether it is the Dhikr, make sure that you pronounce the words correctly, because these are, in some cases, they are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other cases, they are remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make sure that we pronounce the words correctly, and especially with regard to salam, because we see this salaikum so many times. Salaikum, salaikum. What is salaikum? As-salam. As-salamu alaykum. Right? Wa alaykum as-salam. Wa alaykum as-salam. So please, let us be serious with regard to this. Every dhikr is ibadah, and we are getting rewards with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us, our ibadah is bad enough as it is. Let us not destroy it more by mispronouncing and, doing it in this way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to muzayyan, make our ibadah beautiful, to fulfill and to complete the mistakes and to complete the shortcomings that we have. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our ibadah such that it is worthy to be presented before Him Jalla Jalaluhu, and we ask Him to accept it, not because it is worthy of acceptance, but because He is gracious and because He is generous, and He will not return something no matter how weak and insufficient it is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.